The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. It's critic of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We resume this evening with the doctrine of reversionism. Makes you wonder. Now, just an inside joke there. We'll pick up around Roman numeral 5, subpoint D, page 7 of our notes in this vein. All right, we expect once again to benefit from the study at hand this evening. It behooves each and every one of us to make sure we're in fellowship, to deal with the STA accordingly towards God's divine design, and that is through the rebound technique, placing God the Holy Spirit in rulership over our souls, activating our human spirit experientially so that we can, in conjunction with the filling of God the Holy Spirit, ascertain the things of Bible doctrine purely undistorted by the sin nature and profit, therefore, from the study at hand. So with that in mind, we'll give you an opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with our normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your grace and mercies. We thank you again for this another opportunity to come together to study the truth of your word. We ask that you bless us as a local church in regards to our pursuit of knowing you, knowing what your plan consists of, and to fall in line so that we can glorify you for all eternity along with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All this via God the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, reversionism. Categories of reversionism is what we are dealing with here in this section of the doctrine. Obviously, there is as many means or ways of being a reversionist as is there are ways of sinning, if you will, in regards to one's Christian life. Reversionism simply letting the sin nature have rulership over your soul, over the real you, neutralizing your spiritual bands, robbing yourself of SG3, and ultimately causing the loss of the prize with a sin and a death in view rather than glorifying Christ otherwise in this respect. So the categories of reversionism obviously begins in the mental attitude, and that is the first section, subpoint C, that we looked at, mental attitude reversionists. All sin begins in the mental attitude. Most Christians only look to sin as something overt or verbal, the big sins that the fundies always want to point to, but yet they deny, disregard that the Scripture teaches that sin also occurs within one's mental attitude. Jesus Christ himself talked about lusting in one's heart and have obviously committed adultery in one's heart, and they're not overtly doing these things. So that shows that sin does exist in the mental attitude. And if the mental attitude is not kept in check, it's left to wander and to rule in regards to one's life. One can get under many different categories of reversionism, such as anger, bitterness, deceit, jealousy, fear. Fear is a big sin. Fear is obviously something easy to prompt in regards to people, as how other people try to control other people, things of this nature. We are told not to fear a man who can kill our body, but to fear God, the righteous fear, who can kill both body and soul, destroy them both in hell. So we are to put our faith into God, recognizing that he's in control of our lives and things around us, and hence not to be anxious and fear and worry, even sudden fear, as one might face a situation of danger of life in that respect. Hatred is another one, mental attitude hatred, mental attitude murder, going around all the time, constantly holding a grudge within one's mind towards another. Things of this nature, pride, arrogance, that all starts and begins in the mental attitude. Lust, not only fetic, but lust of details, wanting to possess something that is not rightfully yours, legitimately yours, or legitimate otherwise. Mental attitude, rebellion, while going through the motions within one's mind. As the boss tells you to do something, you're constantly berating him in your mind and rejecting the authority, simply doing it so that you don't get in trouble, things of this nature. So you begin in regards to recognizing sin in the mental attitude. That is where, obviously, when it pops up, one should try to deal with it at that level, if possible, and not let it go verbal, overt, but often as the sin nature is operates in the speed of light, essentially, it can easily go into the other categories instantaneously if one is not on top of their game spiritually otherwise. And that brings us to the next category of reversionism, sins of the tongue, verbal sin reversionism. That goes on all over the place, and people do not recognize it. Rather, they exalt it and condone it in many cases. Verbal sinning obviously does not exist apart from some mental attitude sin that prompts it. Two, believers who fail to deal with the mental attitude sins are likewise candidates to become verbal sin reversionists. Certain areas, obviously it doesn't cover all of them, but gives you a good overview. Verbal sinning include point 3A, lying. Acts 5:3. The situation with Ananias, his wife Sapphira, in the early church, wanting to make a name for themselves, gain approbation of those around them by looking to be big givers and things of this nature, as that is often a motivation used in regards to churches and people in their application of giving, rather than letting doctrine set the standard in this regards. And they sold property, and they said, "We're selling it so we can give it to the church," but they held back some of it so they'd look good. And Peter, the apostles, had the gift of prophecy. God would give them supernatural insight in regards to people, and they knew that they were lying in this regards. And point 5:3, Peter calls him out on it. But Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart? When you succumb to the SCA, you let the SCA have its way, then you are simply following the marching orders, the drumbeat of Satan himself, as he is the one who sponsors the SCA activity and human viewpoint otherwise throughout the world. Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?" They just thought they was getting away with it in front of men, but obviously our hearts are, and our lives are all open to God, and understand whatever one's action has ultimately finds its ultimate resting spot with God, and God will judge. See, and here he brings out the person of the Holy Spirit, who is the one designed to let us as believers operate apart from the STA in fellowship to make a proper application of doctrine, which their application was fine. They could have said, "Well, we're sound, but we're giving you some of it, but we're keeping the rest of it." But, you know, the STA, how it goes. And he says, "And to keep back some of the price of the land." And him and his wife are working cahoots, as the rest of the passage brings out in this whole thing. And God to teach a lesson to the early church in regards to the importance of being honest before God, and obviously honest before others around you, immediately kill both parties, sin unto death. You never know when God might take you out, what perfect timing. They're called on the carpet, bang, God kills them. See. Never know when God may punch your ticket and say, "All right, now it's time to answer. Life, then judgment." See. B, another, so lying is one of them. Obviously, that's an example of lying. Pastors, preachers, they're notorious for lying, and other religious types. those who get up and proclaim that the Bible teaches one thing when indeed it doesn't. See, they follow their own agendas, their own ideas. That's lying. But because they did it under the banner of a church or Christianity, everybody, oh, that's fine. Yeah. And you got the idiots who want to follow on. So, lying. So that is something, obviously, that we should seek to keep tabs on. Even white lies. You hear it, parents and children. I tell my children, there's a Santa Claus. They're little. They don't know any better. So I don't care. You're still lying. You want to tell them there's Santa Claus? At least be honest enough. Say, and then I rebounded. But people, how they rationalize in regards to things. So to seek to be honest is the path to take. And truth is obviously a manifestation of the filling of God, the Holy Spirit, versus lying, which is an act of the SCA. Be flattery, to sing praises of others, that is flowery and has a hidden agenda, generally speaking, to get people to like you, to get them off guard. Flattery is used in many different ways. You see that all over in Hollywood, as they're always patting each other on the back. See, I've been, if you watch any of the late night shows, you know, Leno getting off there last month, there's nothing but people coming on and pouring flattery on each other, patting each other on the back. See how great they are. Well, wait till you get before Jesus Christ and then pat yourself on the back. You have a resurrection body. You'll be able to do that if it's possible. Proverbs 26:28. Again, doesn't mean that there's not a proper place to recognize people. Your wife looks pretty or whatever to say this. Well, obviously she's your wife. It's not going to be flattery in that regards. Proverbs 26:28. A lying tongue hates those it crushes. It's generally the agenda to get somebody off guard, to take them down, see, to lie, throw them off guard. And a flattering mouth works ruin. Get other people under their SCAs, get them under approbation, under vanity, see. That's why we're careful, obviously, around here. We recognize when things are done and applications are made, but to not get into undue flattery, risking approbation in regards to others. Romans 16:18. For those who reject truth and seek to insert their human viewpoint, venom otherwise, creating dissensions, conflicts among believers in churches, that is the context, verse 17. And he characterizes these types of individuals, verse 18, for such men are slaves, not of our Lord Christ, of which we are to be a slave, a servant, but of their own appetites, their own appetite, is their STA, their flesh, see. And by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. It is a method that is used often by those trying to get people off guard, convince them to buy into whatever they're selling in this regards. And, they'll sing people's praises to begin with, one's praises. They don't usually just come out and say the pastor's an idiot. You know, this is what I believe. They'll try to flatter and sweeten the pot and get people to like them and then insert their injection of SCA agenda so that one is caught off guard. So false teachers, flattery. See, gossiping, busybodies, you know, gossiping like these talk shows on TV, especially the women. Always got to be in everybody else's affairs, entertainment tonight. Get into Hollywood's personal affairs so they can make it newsworthy or entertaining for people and have a show, you know. These people are nothing but gossipers. They are meddlers. 1 Timothy 5:13. We are told to not be of this ilk. I guess when the weather's like this, you get a chance to watch more TV than usual. 1 Timothy 5:13. In regards to younger women who have no direction, no authority over them, widows whose husbands die at an early age, by divine design, the female is designed to have a male counterpart for guidance, protection, and things of this nature, to help assist in regards to keeping one's female emotions under control and things of this nature. Obviously, that demands an adjusted husband or an adjusted male to do these things. Not to be mean-spirited, but to parallel and be appropriate towards one another in that regards. And there is a place to put widows on a Living Grace need list if they're older, to if they need help in regards to their later years with socialism. In our country, it is not as prevalent today in regards to older people that might otherwise be poor as they get government assistance, things of this nature. But back then, it was a big deal. A woman didn't have much to lean on if her husband didn't leave her, you know, with enough money for the rest of her life if he died before. But for younger widows, they don't put them on that list. They are to get in fellowship, verse 11, but refuse to put younger widows on the list for when they feel sensual desires in disregard of Christ. I'm not the one that's characterizing widows here. I'm not characterizing women. They have sensual desires. May not be expressed the way male desires are in many cases, but they have them. And it comes out in different shades of gray in that regard. And it's a disregard of Christ. They tend to put doctrine aside as they seek to pursue to have a man and things of this nature. They want to get married, thus incurring condemnation. Condemnation there is divine discipline for bolting against God's will and waiting on God to replace the individual, etc., because they have rejected their first faith or previous pledge. And at the same time, they also learn to be idle as they go around from house to house. These don't have jobs, like they're not forced to work like they, more or less like women are today, for living for the household, where everybody almost it seems like has to have two working spouses to make ends meet, the evil of our society. Thank you, women livers, for that. Ladies, you can thank them whenever you get to heaven. Thank you for giving me such a perfect life, making my life so much easier. And if I was you in fellowship, I'd say, idiot. But anyway, maybe you won't. Not merely idle, but also gossips and busybodies, talking about things not proper to mention. So, women getting together, kind of look back in the years of my grandparents, so they're still around, grandmas and their neighbors getting together, and you can hear them cackling, you know, talking about things, etc. Well, being busybodies, slandering, or talking about things really not of their business, not appropriate, not doctrinal, So D, that brings in the next category, slandering, maligning, to speak falsely against someone. 1 Corinthians 5:11. As in part of the list of SC activity of those who indeed can go into reversionism, and then the doctrine is separation, that the adjusted believer is to apply. Verse 11, that actually I wrote to you not to associate with any designated brother, fellow believer, if he should be an immoral person, covetous, or an idolater, or reviler, or drunkard, or swindler. Reviler, slanderer, see, maligner. Not even to eat with such a one. E, boasting. Another activity that is encouraged in regards to our society through largely the athletic programs. James 3:5. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it boasts of great things. Behold, how great a force is set aflame by such a small fire. The damage that the tongue can do otherwise, verbally, in regards to other people's reputations, things of this nature. To brag in regards to one's accomplishments in life. Don't think God's mocked. He's not. People of this ilk, like Cassius Clay, I prefer to call him by his first name, his great boast, balking ring, talk to him now. You won't be able to understand him, but talk to him. See where it gets you. People can slam this and say, oh, I can't believe you say that. Look, God's behind it. I'm going to blame somebody, blame God. He's in charge of your life. He brings these things about. People want to reject it. That's their problem. We believe in the Bible. Daniel 7, 8, and 20. Another example there. In regards to the Antichrist, he's known for his boasting. When one comes on the scene, in the political scene, that carries great boasts, that's an indicator, that's a mark that you're looking at the one and only. And seen in regards to the vision of the horns, when I contemplated the horns, behold, another horn, a little one came up among them, the horns, their representative of national political powers. And here another power comes up, separate from the rest of these. And three of the first horns were pulled out by the roots before. This all reflection upon the EU, Europe, where Antichrist will arise to power, etc. And behold, this horn possessed eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth uttering great boasts. We just went through all this. Same scenario in Thessalonians, in 2 Thessalonians, then verse 20. And immediately the 10 horns that were on the head, and the other horn which came up before, which three of them fell, name of that horn which had eyes and a mouth uttering great boasts, which was larger in appearance than its associates. And meeting is the Antichrist. He's the one that kept looking at the horn, was waging war with the saints and overpowering them. See. F, cursing, and this is not idiomatic language. To say damn, the word in and of itself is just a word. The sin would be found in the wrong attitude in expressing of it, if there was a sin. Otherwise, there's nothing wrong with it. The legalistic fundy tells you not to say hell. Well, why don't you rip out some of the words out of the Bible then? Around them, you don't go, oh, you go, skabula. Learn the Greek. If you don't know what that means, I almost said it. But anyway. Cursing, not idiomatic language. It's a desire for revenge, you know, like the witch putting a curse on somebody. May the camel... I won't go there. James 3, 8 through 10. But no one can tame the tongue. Again, James has some depth and insight in regards to the evils of the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men. See, there's your idea. Antagonistic towards others, who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. From the same mouth we can get in fellowship and speak doctrine, God's praises and things of this nature, and then under the STA with the same mouth spit out all kinds of STA venom regarding others as well as other STA activity. My brothers, these things ought not to be this way. Part of growing up spiritually is learning to bridle your tongue. Try to keep it in check. G, blasphemy. Blasphemy is just not saying the goddamn word. See, blasphemy is distortion of Bible doctrine. To ascribe to God something that is false. God damns all unbelievers. Understand that. 1 Timothy 1:20. How many churches you go to and hear those words from the pulpit? In regards to Paul's enemies, he had a couple of particular saints that obviously did things that was not appreciated by Paul, to say the least. And whatever damage to character and attack on his character and his ministry and things of this nature is not specifically said. But he gives warning, see. He gives warning of those out there trying to upset another man's ministry, things of this nature. Among these are Hymenaeus and Alexander, those who have shipwrecked spiritually with the previous verses. They are believers, and believers can be the worst often in these cases. Whom I have delivered over to Satan, so that they may be taught not to blaspheme. Obviously, that suggests strongly that they were attacking the doctrine that Paul was teaching. So, H, grumbling, complaining, to complain. Obviously, there's nothing wrong in pointing out certain things that are wrong. You get poor service at a restaurant. Excuse me, the food's not cooked appropriately here. Doesn't necessarily mean you're complaining. It means you're pointing out a fact. And again, it comes from your mental attitude. Philippians 2:14, or Philemon, probably, let me see here. One of the two. Philippians probably. Yeah, do all things without grumbling or disputing. Grumbling under your breath in regards to the way things are done at church or around the house and things of this nature, you know, others. James 5:9. Do not complain, brothers, against one another. You know, in our interaction with one another, our fellowship, time together, instead of complaining, pray about it. See. That you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the doors, in the plural. To keep your mental attitude straight in regards to others, because things are not going your way, as fast as you think they ought to, things of this nature, doesn't mean you can get under your SCA, start bitching and moaning and groaning, about everybody and their failures in life. Concentrate on your own failures. You won't have time to generally consider other people's failures. It'll keep you busy enough. Now we get into overt sins, overt forms of reversionism. These are the ones that are most readily, generally speaking, perceptible in regards to people, the areas of sin. One of these areas of reversionism are usually the most immediately perceptible among Christians because they're done overtly. People see it. Two, while the areas mentioned could take on numerous forms of manifestation, we categorize them under their primary form of purpose. Or general trends of the FCA that can be attributed in regards to men, believers included. And we look at these general trends, and from that, obviously, you can spoke out in different avenues, different ways that these trends can be manifested in areas of reversionism. So three, this would include first and foremost the monetary lust trend, the lust for money. 1 Corinthians 5:11. When money becomes the priority over doctrine. So, there, the term swindler. What motivates a swindler? To get wealthy, to cheat people so that he can take advantage of it and make himself more rich. So there's swindler, again, in the list of FCA people that you would want to associate with. 1 Timothy 6, 9 and 10. But those who want to get rich, and it's natural to want to be affluent, even though the disease affluenza is not a real disease, unless you call the SCA, if you keep up with the news. That's the last greatest defense that some rich snob kid has used in regard to get off being in trouble. He was raised up with a silver spoon in his mouth, didn't know better. See, that kind of deal. Good grief. Truly, our country, that's just a manifestation where our country's at. And they bought into it. The judicial system bought into it. He's not even going to jail. And I send the kid to rehab. He needs better parenting. 1 Timothy 6, 9 through 10. I don't know why I got off on that, but I did. Oh, here, the ones who want to get rich, to be affluent, it's natural to want to have ample funds to take care of yourself, ample living grace. That doesn't always have to be measured in regards to terms of dollars, even though in our society it is, and of necessity. But in over history, not necessarily. If one had a farm and plenty to eat and cattle and things of this nature, they could exist without doing any kind of monetary trading if they had all the natural resources to support themselves. Money is simply a part of man to use to do business with one another. And here it's an exhortation in regards to one's attitude in this area of their life. For those who want to get rich, that's one who they're just going to pursue it all out, come hell or high water. Fall into temptation and a snare and many literally stupid and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For first and foremost, understand if you had the ability, all the money in the world to do what you want to do, you might reconsider the fact that you may not be where you're at spiritually today. You'd be a complete idiot. And with money, obviously, comes with freedom. Comes freedom. And freedom to go out and do anything, anytime, go where you want to go, Who cares about a Bible class? We'll blow it off for a month and go on vacation. See. We don't have to live in Cleveland during the winter. We'll go down south. Whatever. See. Verse 10, for the love of money is, and this is often misquoted, it's not the root, it is a root of all sorts of evil. It is another avenue, an avenue that is readily available for the one who will put all effort into it to possess it, etc. It's a root of all sorts of evil. There's many roots of evil, but it is one of them. And it is the main one found among men, from which some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many a pain. A pang of sorrows, problems, trouble. Money in and of itself will not make you happy. Neither will the what if purchases and buys for you. The happiness will be temporary. See how much money that much it means to you whenever all of a sudden you find yourself with a disease they can't get rid of and your money can't find you a cure. See how much happiness your money brings you then as you contemplate your eternal disposition. So monetary reversionism, monetary STA trend. Then there is the sexual lust, phallic lust. Another strongly driven STA trend of humanity over the centuries. 1 Corinthians 5:11. Again, in the list of STA reversionists, the immoral person, sexual immorality is in view. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Doesn't say you're not a part of the kingdom of God. Doesn't say you're not going to go to heaven. It says you will not inherit. Where does inherit have its emphasis? That's in regards to your SG3. See, again, these verses are taken out of context and used for their own purposes by the fundies. And if you're like this, you know that's where most of these fundies. If you're homosexual, you're going to die and go to hell. No, that's not why you go to hell. You go to hell because you failed to believe in Jesus Christ. Here is the loss of SG3. When one runs under your SCA in these categories, especially in the sexual field of life, do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, that's just regular perversion, sex outside the marriage between a male and a female, nor idolaters. They're in the list here. That's not necessarily a sexual in and of itself, but a lot of times the cults have strong sexual implications and ramifications attached to them. Nor adulterers. That's a person involved in a sexual liaison where one party, at least one party, is married and it's not their spouse they're having sex with. So the adulterer, nor effeminate. That looks at the male with the limp wrist, the ones who like to dress up and drag, put the makeup on so they can get in front of TV and be funny before people. And a lot of them are funny. But they're effeminate. See, the way they walk around, usually we attribute homosexuality to the flaming appearance of the sodomites. But any type of effeminacy by the male, you're a guy, act like it. One of the things that used to just make the hair in the back of my head stand up when I was in business is shaking hands with grown men, and it was like shaking a woman's hand, you know. I understand if they have a problem with their hand, they can't squeeze it very hard. But just that limp person, here, just shake my hand. Oh, get away. But of course, you can't do that because you want their business. And see, you'll compromise anything in your life to get business and money. Isn't that the way it works? That's your STA. Of course, you're working for the man. So, and he said, duh. So it's just things you have to put up with, but you recognize it. And you take captive every thought for Christ. Effeminate. Nor homosexuals. Oh, there's that bad word again. Now, they're not. There's not anything in the Bible about those guys. What a bunch of idiots, man. The negative world is so blind. You sit there and you're amazed. You're amazed. I mean, at least I am. How can people be so blind to make statements that the Bible doesn't teach anything wrong about homosexuality? Then when you point it out, then they have to change their tactic. See, hey, all you Bible thumpers, they're the ones that do it. Well, I can show you a lot of people that aren't Bible thumpers, and they're against it. Show me the last time that Russia was a godly nation. You go to Sochi, you better not touch those kids. I love it. At least righteousness is being expressed somewhere in this world, even if it's not in our own backyard. See? Yeah, maybe I've had too much time off. Anyway, so sexual, phallic lust. You want to get involved in those kind of things, understand you're going to basically rob yourself of SG3, being in that condition, and letting your life go that way, as well as many other physical anomalies you might be facing from divine discipline by God. Generally speaking, discipline comes in the body for sins such as this. That's why you have sexual diseases. And married people, they don't get those kind of diseases. Why? But everybody goes, we don't know. Let's go out here and it's all about sex. And just be free. Do what we want to do. Back in my reversionistic days, I was going, yahoo. But now with doctrine, I'm going, man, what an idiot I was. See, drug addicts. The pharmakia of societies. Addictive drugs. Drug addicts. Alcoholics. While we don't consider alcohol a drug, it's not technically. It's a stimulant. A drug is something that creates hallucinatory type of things or pharmaceutically put together in a mixture of that regards. But, you got the liberals, you got the legalists, they're all fighting for their position and voice in the world, and everything's all screwed up. But anyway, we, most of us understand, regards to drug addicts. Again, another thing that basically, people turn a blind eye. The Hollywood types die. Obvious overdose of heroin. Heroin found all through the house. And all you see in regards to the pages and reference to him, how great this person was. He's a drug addict. Oh, he'll be remembered for all... No, he's going to be remembered for being a drug addict. this stuff, you just... It's almost entertaining in and of itself just to watch life go on around you. See? And a negative world, if you want to live in the historical time of Babylon, all you got to do is look out the window. All you got to do is look out the window and watch the news. It's the same thing, just packaged in different ways under modern technology and things of this nature. 1 Corinthians 5:11. Again, in the list. In regards to idolaters, which often calls for often associated with drugs. Galatians 5:20. idolatry, sorcery, things again associated with drug activity, pharmakeia in the Greek, pharmakeia. Criminal and anti-establishment, the antinomian types, lawless types. Romans 13, 1 through 7 gives us the proper applications in regards to our responsibilities before God and society, our governments, civilly and otherwise around us, and that we are to be law-abiding citizens. Let every person, Romans 13, 1, be in subjection to the governing authorities. That's all those people that are above you in authority civilly, from your council in the townships to your city mayors to your governors to your presidents, senators, representatives, all these people, police officers, anybody that has authority, TSA, NSA, all these people. And I understand God put them in their places of authority. He establishes all authority. So we are to not be rebellious against them. We are to be in subjection to them. And here, obviously, he's talking to Christians under the rule of Rome at the time of writing, under Caesar, etc. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God, even the lowest of authority. The head ditch digger, and you're digging behind him, see. Therefore, he who resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, since God establishes authority, and he greatly supports authority. Even when authority may be abusive or wrong for those who may otherwise rebel, be insubordinate, things of this nature, he will support authority. You'll find that to be a reality. And they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. They'll reap the penalty. They'll have to take whatever comes their way according to the governing rules and laws established with the authorities. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior. If you're not drunk, you don't have to worry about being pulled over for DUI. If you are, better shoot a quick one up or find you a driver. You're not to fear. They're not a cause for fear of good behavior. If you do what is right, generally they leave you alone. And that's not always the case. Yeah, you have the jackasses that will abuse their authority. But generally speaking, the normal authority is not that way. I've met plenty of authorities in my life, and generally speaking, most of them are not that way. They're common sense people that will deal with you appropriately. Not everybody's Barney Fife. See. But for evil, they're there to help keep the SCA under wraps as a society. If it wasn't, you can imagine, what kind of society we'd be living in. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is the minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. Capital punishment. If you're a woman living in Texas, don't think you're going to be the exception. They just executed one there yesterday. First one in quite a few years. You looked at her and go, "Ooh, wow. Yeah, see why." But anyway, just kidding. She's before her maker. She'll answer whatever it is. She's a believer. She just got promoted. It does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is the minister of God, an avenger who brings wrath upon the one who practices evil. And the arguments the liberals will use in trying to fight capital punishment, etc. Well, it doesn't get rid of evil. People are still going to murder. Yeah, but it sure provides a deterrent. You're always going to have your idiots. You're always going to have people that are going to do their thing. Verse 5, wherefore it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for the conscience sake. So verse 6 is set up for the month after next. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render all to all what is due then. Tax to whom tax is due. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. There's nothing wrong with avoiding taxes, but you cannot evade them. That's illegal. So, criminal anti-establishment, 1 Peter 4:15. Call them back there. In regards to our witness of life towards others, by no means let any of you suffer as a murderer or thief or evildoer or a troublesome meddler. Obviously, murderers, thieves, be anti-establishment, antinomian types, criminal types. Another area of reversionism, which is a strong predilection among humanity, is religious reversionism. People confuse religiosity with Christianity and bibliology, the study of the Bible. This includes those who follow traditions of men, denominationalism, liberals, legalists, ritualists, etc. It comes in different forms and fashions. And there are many verses that address these types, and they're not presented in a way that they are okay. Mark 7, 6 through 8. Do not give what is holy to dogs. Do not throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under your feet and turn and tear you to pieces. In regards to doctrine, there is a point to refrain from throwing doctrine at others who are shown to be antagonistic, not readily accepting it. Otherwise, they may turn on you and become antagonistic towards you as you're the fundy trying to push your doctrine down people's throats. And you wonder why the Jehovah's Witnesses get the kind of bad reactions that they do from people. They're constantly trying to, in their own way, cast these pearls. Even though they're not casting pearls. Anyway, you know where I'm coming from. Verse 7, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Wait a second, I'm in the wrong book. Never mind. Mark, I'll get there. Every time I say Mark, I think of that song, that Christmas song. Mark the hare-lipped angels sing. Okay, so you didn't come out with a funny background, I did. Mark 7, 6 through 8, in regards to the Jews, but in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. See, that's religiosity, to assert one's own ideas rather than letting God dictate, Bible doctrine dictate, neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men. And these people are the types that honor with their lips, but their hearts are far away from God. 1 Corinthians 5:11. No matter how much rhetoric otherwise, so you understand, no matter how much rhetoric otherwise, the Pharisees, religious leaders of Jesus' time, they're all, you know, always appealing to the Old Testament. Just like the fundies, always appealing to the Bible. 1 Corinthians 5:11. Again, the idolater, a form of religious reversionism, obviously one that is generally categorized and recognized as evil across the board. Romans 16, 17, and 18. In regards to the ones causing dissensions and hindrances, the smooth and flattering speech, giving you characterizing these types of peoples. 1 Timothy 4:1 and following, that we read earlier. regards to the last days, the false doctrine that will come pouring out, people who adhere to during the church age. Now, the Holy Spirit explicitly says that in later times, some will depart, fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. It's not in line with Bible doctrine. It has only one other avenue that it comes from, and that is from the satanic provision, doctrine of demons. See, deceitful spirits by means of the hypocrisy of men speaking lies, literally seared in their own conscience with a branding iron. Many of these people believe what they teach. They think they're right. Men who forbid marriage. Here you have examples. Obviously, here we can look at Roman Catholicism and see the impact this has had and what it's produced over the years. Sorry. Now you can't be married. Got any altar boys? But anyway. Men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods, which God has created to be gratefully shared by those who believe and know the truth.
See.
Then 2 Timothy 2:16 through 18. It's normal to get married. Just have sexual orders. This is normal. Get married. But not for the Catholic guy. No. And to me, it's cool how God continually reveals this. Exposes them for what they are. 2 Timothy 2, 16 through 18. Avoid profane and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness. For Timothy, as an adjusted pastor teacher, these are things he are not to do, as other religious types would. And their talk will spread like gangrene among them, Hermanus and Philetus. Men have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place, and thus they upset the faith of some, teaching false doctrine. 3:5-8, holding to a form of godliness, a religious appearance, although they have denied his power, and avoid such men as these. For among them are those who creep into households, captivate silly women, weighed down with sins, led on by various lusts. Always learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. For a time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled. Operation Q-tip. They will amass for themselves teachers in accordance to their own lusts. And find somebody out there that's teaching them what you want to hear rather than what you need to hear, Bible doctrine. And will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. All under the guise and banner of Christianity in many cases. 2 Peter chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 17 in regards to religious reversionism, the religious Babylon in Revelation 17, and the liberals, licentious types, etc., 2 Peter 2. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to lighten us to these things. In Jesus' name, amen.